Hey, Toasties! Welcome to everybody's favorite pyrography-themed podcast, Pyro Toasty Talks. Today, we're chatting about all things pyrography, art, and running a small business as an artist. Today's episode is Episode 9, The Toolkit. We have with us, as always, myself, Brian, Zona,
hi,
of BZ Furfur, and David and Renee of It's David and Renee. Let's get right to it. Zona, tell us a little bit about what the toolkit is.
The toolkit. I know we have mentioned the toolkit in many a different episode, a previous episode, which is, you know, I think why it's a good idea to... So let's talk about the toolkit, which in reality, at least for me, is, well, for us, is four different toolkits, right? I know. I see, I'm just extra.
I've discovered why you don't have enough room for more product, Totes.
Listen, don't judge me, sir, okay?
Four toolkits.
Well, I have one for the razor tip, because I take the razor tip with me, so I have all my razor tip stuff in there. Then I have, like, the supplies, which is all the stuff that I'll get into. Then I have one for the bags, like, and all the bag and garbage bag type stuff. And then I have one for the canopy. That has all the other stuff, except for the canopy.
Okay. So I think I see the problem here. So you're saying the toolkit is, like, all of your supplies.
So I think we have one thing that we call the toolkit. Mm-hmm. The toolkit is an actual toolkit that has tools and has all the little gizmos and doodads that we use to set up our, display our product, fix things when they break, do little repairs, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Then we have more stuff that we bring along with us, which is stuff for packaging the products when we sell them, and stickers, and all kinds of other business cards, all that other stuff that we have to take with us.
Well, no, that's in the toolkit.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that the like bag box, I don't consider the part of our toolkit. The canopy bag, I don't consider part of the toolkit.
Okay, but, so then really it's two, because
yeah,
there's the supplies, and then there's the razor tip. Because that in itself is its own toolkit, because that has all of the razor tip stuff.
Yeah, you've got your razor tip and the jackery in the one, and then you've got the rest of the tools in the other.
Okay. All right, so I'll delete everything I just said and say that we
No, it's totally fine. Okay, so you're saying you have an actual, like, toolbox, and then you have your, like, packing supplies bin, and then you have your canopy bin... Mm-hmm. And then you have your wood-burning supplies.
Yes.
Listen to episode 8 to learn more about the canopy bin, which is a total misnomer.
It is a misnomer. Okay, so we have similar. Okay. We have an actual toolbox. Mm-hmm. We have an office supplies box.
Okay.
We have a packing supplies box. Mm-hmm. And then if I want to bring my wood burner, or I can bring my wood burner, then I'll bring that, my nibs, my extension cord, my wood pieces, you know, whatever it is I'm going to work on that day. But you said toolkit, so I was thinking actual toolbox. So I brought my toolbox here, and then my office supplies box, because that kind of also has tools in it.
I consider office supplies part of the tools, because, I mean, that's what? Pens, papers, right, note cards, business cards,
yeah,
calculator.
When I wanted to, like, be able to actually look at it as we're talking about it and not just trying to remember what the hell I have in these things. So I think we should talk about the actual toolbox.
Okay.
So when it comes to the toolbox, we have actual tools. Like, we have hammers. We have a little sledgehammer in there to be able to, like, drill into the ground the tent stakes. Mm-hmm. We have the tent stakes. We have rope. We have paracord. We have nails. We have zip ties of various sizes. We have a thing of smushed paper towels somewhere down in there. We have heavy-duty clamps. Like, they're, like, big clamps if we need to clamp something down. We have headlamps, because sometimes we get stuck in the dark packing up. So we have headlamps and batteries in the toolkit. oh, all of our hanging hardware, everything that we use to actually hang the pieces on our displays, like the hooks and stuff, all of that's in the toolbox.
And even though Renee's tried to get rid of them a couple of times, I still keep, like, the emergency hanging hardware, which is, like, a spool of wire that I can, like, fashion into S-hooks very quickly if we need to. Just because you never know.
I guess you never know. So we have some, though. We have some like actual hardware stuff in there.
How big is your toolkit?
It is like, it's a big one. It's a big heavy duty Ace hardware toolkit. Any average dad would have
box. It's like big tackle box in size, but not as big as like the toolkit that goes the whole way across the back of a pickup truck. You know what I'm talking about? But maybe like half that size.
Yeah, it's not that big. One of the clamps is broken, but you can carry it with just one hand. But like lengthwise,
2.5 feet by 1 foot.
Yeah, 2.5
by 18 inches deep.
Okay, yours is
it's heavy duty. She's a
yours
big girl.
Yours is wider than ours. Right?
I like how. Can I point out real quick how David just pussed out with like actual inches?
I'm guessing he looked it up on the internet.
No, I eyeballed it because I could feel Renee getting to the point where like we're gonna get to the point where everything's like Americans will use anything but the metric system, and I was like, okay, let's just.
It is 1/100th of a football field long.
It is the size of 1.5 cats.
Yeah. Approximately 3 Aesops worth in volume, in metric volume. Yeah. So we actually have like the toolbox, and then we have our office supplies, which has all sorts of other stuff.
I was going to say, you got to let them talk about their.
Yeah, I want to hear about your toolbox. Just the toolbox.
Well, our toolbox is definitely smaller than yours. It's probably about maybe.
Wide, 18 inches wide?
A little more than a foot wide, maybe like 14 or so inches wide, probably about a foot deep and about, I don't know, maybe a foot and a half tall-ish. It's a small-ish one, and it's got like a little like tray that goes inside, and I have figured out a way to Tetris all the stuff into it to make sure that it fits. But I have, I made a list. So I have this square reader with the plug. Then I have packing tape. I have a little thing of regular tape. I have glue dots. I have zip ties. So I have the Velcro ones, the reusable Velcro ones. And then I have like little tiny plastic ones. Our business cards are in there. Our stickers. I have a little multi-tool, which is like a hammer that unscrews into screwdrivers and stuff. So I have one of those. What else do I have in here? Plastic tabs for hanging, like sometimes with the signs. I find it easier to just hang it from the grate than to put like the little stand up on there. So I have the plastic tabs. I have jute in case I need some good old fashioned fast tie-age. I have hooks of various sizes for the various things that we try to put up on a grid, or even we try to hang stuff sometimes from our actual canopy. I have price stickers of various sizes. I have price tags in case I'd rather have a tag than a sticker. Then I have my pen pouch, which has many different pens, pencil, eraser, chalk marker, Sharpie. I have the scissors in there so I don't stab myself because I'm liable to do that. Yeah, so that's like there's more stuff in there. I think I've added stuff to it also. What else do I have in there?
Well, we can go I can go pull it down if you want to take a look at what's in
right there.
I'm going to put cool hours up.
And I'm then I have like some stuff that I just carry with me.
That's
like
right, the wearable toolkit. Yes.
Yeah, you've got I've got the Leatherman. I've got like a pair of trauma shears that are like multi tools. I've got all the survival gear, matches, lighter, flashlights, first aid kit, you know?
That show really went wrong if Brian needs to bust out the matches and the trauma shears.
You know what? Okay. Those trauma shears. Now, you've got a super high-quality tent, so you don't have this problem, but we've got a janky old tent, so there's always threads hanging off of there, and she gets mad at me because I pull out the trauma shears and I start trimming all the little threads hanging off the tent, and she's like, we have more important things to be doing. I'm like, more important than this? This is our presentation here.
No, that is not what I say. I don't get mad. I laugh because it'll be this little string that's like a couple of inches long, and it's like, I have scissors. Just snip it. He will, with flair and flourish, bust out the trauma shears because it's from Leatherman, so it unfolds. He'll bust it out and he'll like make a big show of opening it and like showing you, see, trauma shears. It's like, babe.
Listen, I know most of our audience is women, and that's fine, but if there's any guys out there, Brian and I know your feeling of like, people make fun of me. They say, I'll never need this tool. Why do I carry that around all the time? And then when you get the chance to pull it out and be the big hero, that's all you need.
Hey, hold on. He said about the matches. We were having a barbecue the other day, and I was trying to start up the barbecue grill, and the ignition, the battery that goes in the ignition, had, I forgot to take it out at the end of the last season, so leaked acid. Corroded. So the ignition wasn't working, but I had my matches. I was able to get that baby started up, no problem.
and I tease him about these shears. Guess who bought them for him? He wanted it, and I got it for him just because his bag is his survival guide. It's like how you have your pockets, he has his bag. So we've curated little things that fit in his bag, and it has to fit in his bag. Like, he's like, well, it's gotta fit. I was joking around that if we could find a tent small enough to fit in his bag, that we would probably stick a tent in there. Like, I've looked at small cups and bowls to put in there. He's like, I'm never gonna need one. But this is also the guy who's got a multi, like, spoon and fork in his bag.
I can build a shelter in the woods if we need to. Absolutely, I don't need to carry a tent.
I'm not saying that you have to. I'm simply saying that if there was one available, you would want it to put it inside of that bag.
You need, like, Hermione Granger's endless bag.
Yes,
that's what you need.
That's what I need.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Or, like, the Mary Poppins bag. You could just pull out, like, everything you ever need. It's just endless.
Yes. Yeah.
People sometimes get that impression when I start pulling things out of my bag.
Same with David. They're like, I didn't even know you had a cinder block on your person. Like, where did that come from? Right?
Exactly.
What do you mean you have a tank of goldfish? Where'd that come from?
Do you guys some goldfish food?
Today. Oh, I do have jokes today.
But,
your pockets are ridiculous. Oh my gosh. I think we've talked about his pockets before. Anyway, back to the toolkit.
That sponsorship is coming up with
Duluth.
With Duluth.
Duluth. No back microphone for you. Okay.
Lie, though. Duluth. So, I like Duluth brand. Yes. I used to get their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For me, because I wanted it. Anyway.
I'm going to make a note. Duluth sponsorship.
LOL.
That should have already been a note. Why wasn't it a note already,
Leave
Brian?
Leave the microphone alone.
He's making a note to actually email them, and I will make sure that he follows up on that tonight.
LOL. Okay, so I have my office box here, and it is like a hardware case. It's hard to explain. You can see it over the video, it has all these little compartments, and it has like these little divider thingies that you can make extra compartments, but it was like in the toolbox section at Ace Hardware. But I was like, oh, that's perfect for all of the extra little stuff that we need. Okay, so here's what we got. In the back, we have a thing of scotch tape, we have a little mini calculator, we have a little notepad. We have some of my old cutting board care cards that I hand out. with cutting boards if and when they sell, but they never sell, so I've never given one out. I have a ruler. I have jute, twine, wire. I have little yarn stringies. I have little stickers. I have this little section is full of extra ornament hooks for our Christmas ornaments in case one like falls out into the grass or something. I have paper clips. I have a pencil sharpener. I have little washi tape. I have like a mini stapler, like one of the little minis. Mm-hmm. I have a mini stapler. I have a little thing of chalk. I have a compartment with just baggies because sometimes you just need a little extra bag. And then this compartment is all extra tags. So like product tags, I have little mini tags, and then I have big tags, and then I have brown sticker tags. I have all that. And then we have business cards. And then of course we have pens, pencils, Sharpie, scissors, dry erase markers for when I used to have a dry erase board that we would take with us. I have a thing of Band-Aids. I used to keep the square readers in here, but David likes to keep them in the cash box instead. So that's where they live. But I used to have them in here.
If I have the cash box, I can take your money no matter how you want to give it to me.
Right.
I like that.
That's...
It makes sense that they live in the cash box. They just used to be in here.
So I have a couple of questions for you, Renee.
Okay, I have like one more. I have one more section. Okay. It's the personal items section. Okay. So we have a little thing of hand sanitizer. I have a pack of tissues. We got some tampons. We got cough drops and anti-diarrheal pills. We got ibuprofen, Excedrin, Tylenol, and plastic cutlery. Because sometimes you pack your lunch and you just don't have a spoon. Okay.
I always have a spoon because I have one in my bag.
Of course you do, yes.
The funny thing is that, like all of the pain medications are in my bag, in my personal bag, because I have the Aleve back and muscle. I've got the headache, the tension headache. I've got my prescription meds. I've got good old-fashioned Aleve, good old-fashioned extra Tylenol. Like, all that is in my personal bag. It's not actually...
See, I also have all of that in my personal bag, too, but I have both.
I've been meaning to... I want to... put a
first aid kit
in the toolkit. Out of everything that we have, that's one thing that we don't actually have in the toolkit, but we also have toolkit, like we have little Band-Aid toolkits in our bags also. So we have to
we got a first aid kit,
but we really should put one in the actual toolkit.
I have a couple of questions for you, Renee.
Okay.
One, what is something that you needed that you were on a that you were at a market you needed and then became a staple of your toolkit, like you were just completely lost because you didn't have this thing on you and you're like, I need to have this, and then it became a staple part of your toolkit?
A few things. Okay, I'm just trying to think. I know with the Christmas ornament hooks, when I was just starting out, I had like the cheapy green ones. And if you drop one in the grass, it's gone forever. And so I needed extras. And it's like, well, I don't have extras. I just have to take one off of another ornament. And so I learned, okay, I'm going to bring extra hardware.
And those hooks sometimes can be used for other things, too.
Yeah. They
sometimes
can,
sometimes in
yeah.
a pinch, you can use them for something else.
Yeah. We have had... So, like, the clamps, we have the big industrial clamps in the actual toolbox. We use those for all sorts of things, but the last couple shows, we've used them to clamp the extra fabric. Because on our tablecloth, we don't have a fitted tablecloth. We just have a sheet of fabric. And then we, like, kind of wrap it up and clamp it underneath the table. But before we had the clamps, it was so annoying just having all this extra fabric hanging off the back end of the table, and it either like gets wrapped up in your feet, or if it's raining, because like it freaking always rains at outdoor shows, then it's getting soggy in the grass. And it's like, I want to be able to tie this up, and get it off of the ground. So the clamps have come in clutch. And then honestly, the personal stuff, I cannot tell you how many times we've like packed a lunch or something and I forget to pack a fork, or like we go get a hot dog at, you know, a food vendor or something, but they didn't give us a spoon. And it's like, damn it. I can't eat my yogurt without a spoon. So having extra silverware and then also tissues, like tissues. I have a pack in here. I have a pack in my purse. I have a pack in my backpack, like tissues, man. David has something to say.
Well, two things. One, I think Brian noticed the same thing I did, which was it seemed like you were implying that you were going to eat a hot dog with a spoon.
No, you know what I mean. Like, I love yogurt. Okay, I love yogurt. And when we have our morning shows, I will always pack my little lunchbox and I usually throw in a yogurt and a banana. But half the time I don't remember the spoon. Or like you go get a hot dog or like a sausage or whatever, and it might have like chili on it or something. And it's like, well, I really need a fork. I don't have a fork. Like, I need a fork. You know
when
what I mean?
Condiments start falling off the hot dog, and they're really good condiments, and you don't want to, you obviously don't want to throw it out, and you want to be a little more presentable. And you don't want to sit there, you know, like snuffling in the paper.
Like
you
an animal.
Exactly. We want.
This
we
is one of those
like
times
an,
where
we want to look like a lady, at least to some degree, right? So, right. Like a spoon, kind of.
This is one of those
great
points where having the video would have been really useful so that you could have seen both.
The
David
way she just snuffled
Zona
all that food into her face. Yeah, that was so good.
I wanted to second.
Oh, in a trash bag. Oh, my God. How many times have we needed, like, an extra plastic bag for trash? Either we have paper towels or food trash. And it's like, well, shit. All we have are, like, the packaging bags for the customers. I just need, like, a grocery bag for trash. Anyway.
That's also partially why I said I have extra, like, I have more bins than just the toolkit, because, like, right. The bag bin that has our product bags, like, that are the little craft bags, that has the garbage bag with right. the garbage, with it has the garbage bin with the garbage bags, paper towels, Clorox wipes, bug spray, sunscreen.
Oh yeah.
The mallet, an extension cord, and our paperwork in it. Like, I stuff all of that in that bin because that's where it was gonna fit. So that has that stuff. And then like the canopy bin has our bungee cords, the stakes, tablecloths, but the Edison lights, and some display stuff is in there because I can fit in the display bin. But like, I have those things, they're just in different bins, because I didn't have room in our toolkit. But yeah, I get it. I absolutely get it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, I think, so, like, the like, actual toolkit with
the
all
toolbox.
The, like, yeah, the toolbox with all the actual tools and things, that one was pretty set when we started, because we're both like kind of outdoorsy. We were basically like, well, what all will we need to like hold a tent together and maybe repair things? Like, that was pretty easy to predict. The thing that I think is really the most essential is the personal items bin, because like when we're at our shows, we're almost always like 2 to 3 day shows. They're really far away from home a lot of times, and like, or at least the recent ones have been. And, like, keeping your mood elevated enough so that when people come into your tent, it's not just, like, death stares, like, I can't believe I'm here, like,
right.
is really important. And so, like, I think some of those creature comforts that you would be like, do you really need those? And it's like, well.
Yes.
Like what?
Yes.
It's like what is in your toolkit that would fall into that category? Simply because, like, I guess everything that you've mentioned so far that is in your toolkit, like, makes sense to have in your toolkit, and it isn't like a, for lack of a better term, like a frivolous thing, like just a simple creature comfort to make me happy at the moment. Like, I just, like, that should be in the toolkit. So, like, what falls in that category for you?
So, like, I mean, definitely the silverware, like the plasticware, okay. was one that, because like, you can eat your yogurt with like the lid of the yogurt if you or really want to,
or your
ew. That's even more ew,
right? Or you just don't eat the yogurt.
Am I the only
one? You're
ones?
Sitting there trying to like squeeze the yogurt bottom into
like
your
a
mouth.
Push pop.
Yes, exactly.
Am I the only one who hasn't demonstrated eating?
Yes.
Yes, but that's, you'll get into it somehow.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Eventually it'll happen.
So yeah, like, I know. I get
it. And like, it's, I always assume, like, I don't know, like, I have a very like standpoint of like, when I go out into the world, I am able to survive on my own. Like, mm-hmm. what's on me is able to survive for at least 24 hours till I get back home.
Okay.
Like, kind of mindset. And so, like, I don't carry a lot of, like, medication with me or anything like that because, like, nothing. Like, I'm either going to the hospital or I can wait till I get home. Do you know what I mean?
Or Renee has it.
Well, and right. so, like, I'm used to Renee having her stuff, but if for some reason she doesn't have it in her purse or something's wrong, that's like, oh yeah, that needs to be in the toolkit because like at least you know it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
So
one
one
thing that we discovered was carrying sunscreen with us, right? I react very poorly to the sun, and we were at one show where we didn't have a tent. And I got cooked.
I feel like we've heard this story before. Have we talked about this?
Probably.
I don't know. I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast. I think we've had this conversation. We've just had this conversation off podcast. But the thing was, it was a table, and they didn't mention bringing an umbrella, so we didn't even think about the umbrella. And where they had set us up was, I mean, we were in direct sunlight. And, like, some people were lucky enough that they were, like, behind a pole or something where the shadow was cast on them. So they had, like, shadow. We were in just bright sunlight. And
the sun.
Yeah, we were just in sun.
Even if we did have a umbrella, there was no way we were going to be able to set it up. They packed
the way that they
so
had,
tight.
Yeah. The way that they had the setup was poor. Well, here was it was so bad that Brian was turning so red that another vendor came up to us and looked at him and said, "Can I please give you sunscreen?" He was turning that red. It was one of those moments. And I remember thinking, "Holy crap, he's going to get the dazzle." He has some, it's called the devil's itch, and basically it's a sunburn on steroids. So it's like his fight, like, oh, he's on fire. And thankfully he hasn't had that in a while, but because I saw it once and I was like, we're not doing this again. If I have to like hold you down and put sunscreen on you, we're not doing this again. But I remember that day, like, we didn't think about it. I thought about it when we were there, like, oh crap, we should have had sunscreen at least for him, at the very least.
Yeah,
right. And I remember he was turning so red and I was feeling so bad and I was so worried. So I was completely distracted like half the day there because I was like, he's gonna have a bad reaction and this is gonna be a bad time. Thankfully he didn't have the devil's itch, but he was
because usually my arms, face, neck, that's not really the problem. It's if my back, shoulders, chest, that where things that normally aren't exposed to the sun get burnt, that's where I have a problem. But this is not the devil's itch podcast.
No,
this
not.
Is Power Toast and Talks.
That day, though, the back of your neck got burned, and you did have the devil's itch on the back of your neck, but it wasn't so bad. Anyway.
So, so sunscreen.
Okay.
Sunscreen. Well, you know, so for us, like,
we're outdoorsy, so we always have sunscreen and outdoor stuff and bug spray in the car. So even if we don't have it on us, we can just go to the car. Because usually we're in a parking lot or something, or the car's parked a street over on the street fair or whatever. So it's like, it's easily accessible even if we don't have it on our person.
I still need a good, reliable gnat repellent.
Gnat? So,
yes. Or biting flies? I don't know what the hell it is, but I know it's not mosquitoes, but there is some bug that, I swear to God, they follow me around and like, And they're just annoying at night.
Do they actually
doing this all day, like at night, and it's just bad.
Do they actually bite?
I think so, because I get a reaction. Like if it was a mosquito, you know, they bite, and then I was like, I itch, and then I get the swelling. It's similar to that.
Interesting.
But it's not from a mosquito, so I don't know what it is, but
I didn't realize red ants both bite and sting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Yeah.
This is a little fun fact that we found out on the way home after I was complaining the entire ride home that I was bitten up.
Well, we were trying to figure out if red ants bite or sting, and I found out they do both.
Mm.
They're pretty nasty.
I'm not sure specifically about red ants, but many ants actually bite you and like hold, they like grab a mouthful of your skin, and then while they're holding it, they just do like super crunches and stab you with their stinger. So they like bite to hold and then sting the bit area.
Yeah, because ants are they're very close to hornets or wasps, right?
Sure, that sounds like a fact.
It is. They've evolved from like the same ancestors, right? I don't know if it's like it's the same. I don't know how you categorize insects, but they're like a very close family to wasps.
This is not a biology podcast, so we have no idea
what
that is. If anybody knows out there, let us know.
I would believe it. It makes sense. They have like similar body parts and such, so like you could convince me that that's true.
I'm convinced. All right. We've really, really gone off topic.
I've been trying to think, like, you asked the question, what is the one thing that we learned over time that we need, and it had to be a part of the toolkit? And I've been trying to think what that is, because I know when I put the toolkit together, it was like I was walking myself through setup and takedown and possible scenarios. So I'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to put in some packing tape because this, that, and the other, because I'll probably need it, or this kind of tape. Or whatever. So I'd like walk myself through. So I made that. And I'm trying to think, what have I added to it that I found was a must have?
Well, she'll usually, when we're at a market, she'll go, I need this thing. Can you write that down?
Yeah.
And then I make kind of a running list of the things that we don't have in the toolkit that would be useful. And then we go and add that in the next time. So it's kind of evolved over time, and I think it's grown pretty substantially.
I have two personal item things that I learned the hard way. Hand warmers. So we bought a big like bulk pack at the hardware store of the little thermal hand warmers, because there have been so many times where it's either fall, winter, or early spring, and it is cold, and it's like, damn, I wish I had hand warmers. And I got tired of saying that, so now I always bring them. And then the other thing is extra shoes / an extra pair of socks, because all of our outdoor shows, it always freaking rains, and I'm tired of having soggy shoes or socks like at the beginning of the show, or maybe it's like a super dewy morning, super humid, and your feet are soaked, and then you got to deal with that ish all day. I hate that. Now I bring extra socks, and if we know it's going to be like bad weather, we see the forecast or whatever, like I'll even throw in my hiking boots so I can breaking down in the mud is the worst. And then getting into the car and you're muddy and the bottoms of your totes are like, it is the worst. I'd rather just have shitty clothes that I can get muddy and not have to worry about, you know. So I have my hiking boots. I'll bring an extra pair of socks. I've actually brought an old t-shirt and old leggings before, because the forecast looked like it was going to be just shit weather. Yeah.
I think the one thing that we've started bringing with us that I think is more valuable than anything else is the Jackery.
I want one so bad.
Just slight backtrack. In terms of like the bad weather, whatever, the canopy bin also has a tarp. Like I bought like two tarps for for that exact reason. Like, there was one market that we did, and it would always be dewy in the morning, and it was on grass. So I would tell them, throw down the tarp to put the bins and whatnot on so it wouldn't get muddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
tarp and the reason is... that... a tarp, definitely the tarp, and or if it rained prior, or I think it's gonna rain, I'll just wear my hiking boots, mm-hmm. and then I'll probably be miserable because my feet get hot and I don't like that. But I'd rather have hot feet than wet, soggy, like feet, because then I'm just thinking fungi, and like my feet are gonna smell, and then I'm gonna have like problems with my feet. And
well, and it's like
stuff.
Squelchy. It's like a squelchy texture. Yeah. It's
and then
terrible.
And even if you wash the shoes, it's almost like it never dries out completely, or the smell never goes away.
R.I.P.
It's almost just like, all right, well, I guess let's just toss these shoes then. You know, and it's just, no. But so, yes, I can understand the hiking boots, too. At but, yeah, the Jackery. Definitely the Jackery.
At our one show.
Such a valuable thing.
Wait, Raven was saying something.
Sorry. I was just going to tell a fun war story from an art show. It was raining so much, and it was on an old, like, industrial pad, so there was no drainage. Like, the ground was so compacted that, like, after the first foot of topsoil, it was just like packed clay. So there was nowhere for the water to go, and it ended up with like 4 inches of like mud slop that walk around in.
Oh!
And then eventually I just was like, you know what? This is stupid. And I just took off my shoes and socks, and I was like, I'm just a weird hobbit man now. And
this was Port Warwick.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was absolutely terrible. Yeah. So it used to be, like, the park that it was in used to be, like, the foundation of an old building. And the concrete is still there, but it's underneath the grass and stuff. So there's, like, 2 feet of soil and grass, and it's a nice mm-hmm. park. You would never know that it used to be, like, an old building. But, yeah, the drainage, the water just doesn't drain. And we did not expect that to be such a huge problem. And of course, being in a park in the grass, the ground's always uneven, and so you get mm-hmm. the low spots where the water starts to pool. Mm-hmm. And we were both so done. We rolled up our pants to our knees, took off our shoes and socks, and we were just walking around. And people like thought we were crazy, but it's like, well, I don't want muddy, squelchy mud shoes all day. I'd rather just be a hobbit and go barefoot. I don't care if you think that that's gross. But, I mean, that's probably the worst mud we've ever had to deal with. And it's like,
I feel like you should have been locking arms and dancing around, like,
singing in the rain.
You couldn't dance. It was too deep.
It was terrible.
Oh.
It got past the point of, like, let me tiptoe around, you know, because usually I try to wear something relatively nice. And so, like, mm-hmm. I don't want my nice clothes to be all muddy, and I'm trying not to get the bottom of my pants muddy. But it's just like, you know what? F it. Like, I'm just going to be muddy. It's whatever. It's inevitable. F it, man. Like, golly, that was terrible.
I had one other, I guess technically it's also kind of like a war story from shows, but, I think it's a PSA, because you're talking about the Jackery. We have a gas generator still. We're going to end up with a Jackery eventually, but I don't know that it'll be the thing we always take. Cause
what is a Jackery?
The problem with the gas-powered ones are that a lot of places don't allow them.
That's the problem with it.
Yeah.
Right. But for a lot of places that do, we'd rather have that because it's a little bit more reliable throughout the day, I think. But we don't know. And in case Renee was saying, people might not know, the Jackery is like, it's a giant battery pack that mm-hmm. you can plug into and work from. They're designed to work with their solar chargers, but I don't have the money for the solar panel to go with it.
Yeah, it's a battery pack. And you can burn. You can plug in your mm-hmm. phone. You can plug in your burner. You can burn on site. Like, it's a giant battery pack with multiple outlets.
Are they sold on Amazon?
They are.
The nice thing about the Jackery is that it is a big power. It's a battery. It's a battery pack, basically, what it is. It's a really big one. They're not that heavy. I mean, they do have some weight to it, but you kind of expect that, and you kind of want it to have some weight on it. But there are also different sizes of the jackery. So, you know, there's some smaller ones, and there's some really Mama Juka big ones. I guess, are they pricey? I mean, on a scale point, I mean, the one that I have is like $200.
They're so totally reasonable for what they are. I just don't, we just didn't have the money to devote to it yet.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. It's more of a like, you know, our listeners might be like, well, how much are they? You know,
couple hundred.
Yeah, I mean, like you said,
they go up to over $2,000.
Yeah,
you know, you can get a,
which is like the big one.
That could that could battery pack a house.
Like that's something that I think could probably replace your gas generator type, because it's a big boy. It has like its own handle with wheels on it. But like you said, David,
that's a 6,000 watt, right? The one we have is, I think, like 1,000 watts.
I don't even remember. Like you said, David, it is reasonably priced for what it is and what it does. I will say, like, I remember when I got it, I was like really nervous because it is a couple $100, and you get nervous about, is this gonna work? Did I just waste my money on this thing? You know, you worry about that. I'm really, really glad that I bit the bullet when I did and I got it. I burn on sight. It keeps me busy, first of all, but it, plus I do customization when I'm at market sometimes, especially during the holidays, because I'll put their name on the back, or I'll, they like to personalize the ornament, so I'll put their name or whatever on the back of the ornament. I was doing keychains for a little while, you know. So I was burning on sight, and I needed something to power my razor tip. And then there was the whole you can't have a gas generator thing. But I also wouldn't want to travel with a gas generator anyway. I feel like, personally, that's just a risk I don't want to take. That's me. So I was really happy. And plus, the jackery is small-ish. Because it fits inside my tool. It fits inside my razor tip toolkit with my razor tip and my box of nibs and a fan and the little cookie dolly that I bring with me, and like the wrist guard, the wrist brace stuff, and any other razor tip like burning essentials that I might need. Like that all fits into that one toolkit. So I do like the fact that it's small. The one that I have is small-ish compared to some of the other ones. Plus it has a lot of outlets. The one I have has lots of outlets. That's how I like.
Yeah.
And it powers. One of the bigger things that I thought was really cool is that it powers not just my razor tip, but it will also power the Edison lights in our tent. And that will be two strings of Edison lights. And I can burn at the same time.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it powers it. I will say that I heard from somebody that uses the Walnut Hollow Versatool, I think, that it does not heat up her tool enough for her. Like,
really?
That's what she said. I don't know.
Again, I think it depends on which one you have, right? And there's ones that are 200 watts, there's ones that are 1,000 watts, there's ones that are 6,000 watts.
Yes, but I believe that we have the same jackery.
Okay.
I believe that we do. She was saying that it didn't get hot enough. But I've heard from a couple of people that if you have like a power strip and you had like two Versatools hooked up together, they didn't heat up to like their full hotness or their full potential or something. You have to put them on separate power strips or something in order for it to heat. Like,
that's weird.
That's what I heard. I don't use it. I'm just going by what, not just her, but I've heard some other people question. Like, oh, why my burner isn't getting hot enough? You know, and it was just like, oh, well, try switching outlets or try putting in another power strip and putting the second burner on the other power strip or something like that. Something about the wattage and how it's pulling. That's what I heard. I don't know.
One other thing that we've noticed is that when she's burning on site, temperature affects the hotness of the...
Oh, yeah.
So if it's a cold day, it's not going to heat up as much. If she's got her fan blowing directly on her, it's going to cool down the tip of her razor tip as well. So I think sometimes you don't take into consideration those environmental factors.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, that has nothing to do... That doesn't really have to do with the Jackery itself, but just... It's something to consider. Oops, sorry. It's something to consider,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, when you're considering burning on site.
Yeah, that's something that I've taught in the... some of the online classes that I've taught, especially the intro to wood burning ones. It's like, mm-hmm. I have this, it's not really a secret formula, but I call it like my Krabby Patty secret formula. It's like, mm-hmm. how to get a burn. It's like the kind of burner you have, the wood that you're using, external factors that you can't mm-hmm. control, including weather and temperature if mm-hmm. you're burning outside. And then, like, of course, the heat setting, the speed, and the pressure. And mm-hmm. all of those have independent variables. And depending on what certain variables are, that's going to affect your burn. So, yeah, the outdoor temperature or having a fan blowing directly on you, it's going to mm-hmm. cool it off. And it's like, why is my burn not cut? It's like, well, because Karen, it's a 30 degree day and you're burning outside. That's why it's not doing the thing. Like, mm-hmm. it's too cold out there.
Like, anyway. And you could turn up the temperature on it. If you can, you could try and turn up the temperature. But then you've got the, okay, so now it's going to get real, real hot. But then you put it down and it's going to instantly cool off. So now you've got that uneven burn. Right, like it's like yeah. big old blob, and then you've got the like, you get the little line of like barely burnt stuff, you know, and then you just pick it up, and then it's just this whole round robin of that. But yeah, but that is definitely something to think about when outside in the elements.
I have a toolkit question for you.
Okay.
Is there anything that you used to bring that you were like, nah, we don't need this anymore, and stopped bringing?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I mean, there are certain things that we stopped bringing. So, okay, we used to have a kind of a like a sandwich board type of thing mm-hmm. that we used to stand up, and we would put like hang stuff on it, and we don't bring that anymore. So there was all these little hooks that we had that were specifically designed for that. And obviously those were an integral part of our toolkit at the time because we, you know, we would have to rearrange that thing all the time, change the configuration of it. And we stopped bringing that because it was just a hassle. It took up a lot of space. It would always fall over. And
we couldn't, because truthfully, it wasn't an actual sandwich board. It was a sign. It was a 6-foot sign that folded in half. So we were repurposing it as a sandwich board, mm-hmm. but we couldn't. Like, we had drilled the holes in it to put the hooks in to use it as a pegboard, but we couldn't figure out how to stabilize it enough that it wouldn't fall over. Right, and then we had put it on a Lazy Susan, but it would still fall over, and it wasn't turning properly. Like, we just couldn't get it to work for us, and it was just much more of a hassle to try and get it to work for us, especially on location, than it was to just figure out another way to display, like, the keychains that we had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when grids came. That's when I went out and I bought the grids, the cube grids. So that's what we use now. So, I mean, we still have the sandwich board. We still have the pegs. I'm actually trying to figure out how to burn because I have the laser engraver that I use to cut out stuff. I have found that it's really great to burn, to cut out display pieces out of the plywood. So that's what I've been using it for more than anything. And, you know, burning shapes of like for magnets and bookmarks. But I had the pegs, so I was just like, I was going to try and find a pattern or a SVG to make, like, a smaller pegboard where I could just use the pegs so that mm-hmm. they're not just hanging out and I don't feel like I wasted money on them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, instead of buying something else and just repurposing something that we already have. Plus, I like the fact they're metal hooks.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I can cut out the pegs, but then I'm just like... I feel like they kind of look kind of cheesy, and then I'm afraid that they're going to break, and, you know, they're going to break in half because they're not made for constant moving. So,
I think in general, anything that goes in the toolkit, it's pretty worthwhile to keep it, even if we never use it. It's kind of one of those I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Yep.
So it would really only be for something big like that. Like, that was something that we had to constantly try to figure out what's the best way to transport this thing.
That was the other thing.
We haven't really hit a point where we're so desperate for space in the toolkit that we need to start paring it down.
Well, I think the way I would answer your question, David, is more like, there are things that we've bought that we use, but then we found something better for the purpose that we originally bought it for. Like, for the grids that we use, we will put, we'll make like a small grid wall of like two or three grids, and we'll connect them, and then we connect it to the tent in the front or in the corner so that we have some place to like hang stuff, like a partial hanging wall. So it was a matter of trying to figure out how to make it easy for the grids to be connected, because he was using the Velcro zip ties, but they would be it would be tedious to like pull it through, and then you got to wrap it around 1,000 times to get it to close, right? So I had gotten these little rings, and I thought that they would work, but he was saying that it was like, when they were brand new, it was hard to open, right? And then to close it. And then after a while, it just became too easy to open and close. So now they're not staying closed.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, it's in the toolkit. I haven't gotten rid of it, but we don't use it for that. But I keep it anyway because I'm like, well, I mean, I could hang a sign off. I could use it to hang the signs or, you know, something else. I could repurpose it for that. So it's still there. We don't use it for what I originally had bought it for, what we originally bought it for. And we just ended up getting, like, the little zip ties because that just is just so much easier to finagle with than sit here with the Velcro or the or those little rings. The zip tie, and I mean, we try not to be wasteful, and we try to do a lot of reusable things. You know, it cuts down on cost, and it's just better for the environment. But in terms of setup and breakdown, we also had to think about ease, right?
Right.
It's easy to just do a zip tie, and then at the end of the night, we just cut it, and then we're good, right? Instead of sitting here and trying to have to mess with the Velcro or mess with the ring, so.
Somebody somebody did show us at a recent market these reusable zip ties, which look like regular zip ties, but they have a little, it's like almost like a hinge or something on the back.
Oh, like a tab.
It's a regular, looks like a regular zip tie.
Oh, okay.
Like a regular plastic zip tie, except it's got a little tab on the back. So when you want to remove it, you just push the tab down and you pull the zip tie back out. And then you can use it again the next time.
I need to look that up.
I see that.
Yeah, they're kind of cool.
That makes total sense to me that it would exist, because you can definitely do that with zip ties already, but you need like a teeny tiny screwdriver to reach the locking mechanism. And so it looks like they just gave you a lever to replace a teeny tiny screwdriver.
Which I think is great, because I just wonder about the durability of them after the second or third use.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to be honest, second or third is more durable than zip tie currently.
That's true. Well, I just, it's a matter of cost versus, you know, durability, right? If they're three times the cost and you can use them three times, then win, right? You know, you're paying the same amount, but you're being less wasteful. If you're paying five times the amount and you get one more use out of them, maybe it's not as, you know, it's not cost effective and you're still being quite wasteful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I mean, then you also have to consider, like, time of, you know, putting the zip tie through and then wrapping it around so it's not just, like, it doesn't look messy. Because part of, you know, when we put our displays together, our tent together, we want it to be neat. We want it to be presentable, right? Mm-hmm. Not just garbage and things hanging all over the place. So if you're having to spend more time just like sitting there and wrapping it around and trying to make it look neat, that's time. Even if it's only a few seconds, that's still a few seconds that have been taken away from doing something else that you've been doing. And then it adds up.
50 zip ties to keep your grids together, yeah. And each one takes 30 seconds, you know, or each one takes 5 seconds, yeah. You know, that's you've lost 10 minutes right there.
It adds up, yeah. And then it's just like, if you're on a time crunch, it's just that much worse. So, I mean, it, you know, coming up with the stuff is a trial and error. You try different things and figure out what works for you. I mean, I guess that's kind of what a lot of our stuff is. It's a lot of trial and error and finding new things and talking to other people about, oh, what do you use for this and what do you use for that? And,
oh, this guy was so excited to show me the reusable zip ties.
Oh, dear God, was he? I remember that guy.
I'm looking at some reusable ones on Amazon, and they have silicone zip ties.
Silicone?
Yeah, they're like silicone. They look stretchy. But they have, like, a double locking mechanism that I guess helps them stay...
I was waiting for you to finish typing. Oh.
Stay connected.
That's right. You have the noisy keyboard.
Clack, 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 clack.
Yes, he's got the clickety-clackety keyboard. So now he's actually using the computer keyboard.
I wonder if the silicone ones are any good.
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm sitting there thinking, like, how durable are they?
They have good ratings. 4.6 stars. But like,
can we talk about Amazon ratings for just a moment?
Sure.
So I just want to put a little PSA out there. Ratings on Amazon are probably one of the most misleading points of data that you can use when you're shopping for something, only because 9 times out of 10 the reviews on Amazon are paid for.
Nowadays they're definitely paid for.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of sketchy things that sellers do on Amazon, such as post a product and then sell a bunch of them and then change it to another product, but they keep the same product, but they swap it out for something different so that they can maintain all the good reviews that they got on the previous product. So it looks like the cheap new product that they just posted has a bunch of really good reviews. I just
bait and switch.
Yeah, it's a very sketchy way of doing business. I just want to put that out there for anybody who shops on Amazon who does not realize some of the really underhanded tactics that a lot of companies use, especially since Amazon started partnering with a lot of companies that make products overseas and try to undercut companies in the U.S. So just be don't want to be too preachy about it, but do be very cautious when you're looking at reviews on Amazon, because they can be extremely misleading.
You know, you take it with a grain of salt, because there is the underhanded things, and and there are companies that will literally advertise, will pay you to write reviews, good reviews about these things, these products, right? So people can just go on and just write whatever and just sing its praises if they wanted to, and they've never even used the product, right?
Yeah.
But I also think it's also perspective, right? Because, you know, I may think that this thing is worth its weight in gold, and Renee might be like, oh, I tried that and I hated it. You know, it didn't do what I needed it to do, right? And it's like, am I wrong? I'm not wrong. Is Renee wrong? Renee is not wrong. But it's
perspective.
Differently. Right, it's perspective. Like, we use it differently, or we have a particular purpose in mind or how it needs to work for us, and it just doesn't suit the purpose that we specifically need it to. So I think that's also the other thing to keep in mind about reviews. We are not saying that it is every single seller on Amazon. We're not saying that. And we're not... want to make sure that people know that. We're not saying that it is every seller and that it's Amazon is like this horrible place. I mean, I love Amazon, but you take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying to be... Do be your aware. Own do your own due diligence. I will usually look for unbiased reviews and check for the legitimacy of the companies. There's some of these fly by night companies mm-hmm. that show up on there, and they show up in the top search results because they know how to kind of game the algorithm. Just talk to me on Discord if you want me. I can go and give you a
you
whole.
You can go out on a whole thing. Let's not get canceled before we even started. Thanks, yeah, that'd be great. I mean, there's also there are companies that pay. You know what I mean, to be advertised, right? They pay the advertising fees and whatnot. So if they're gonna pay $10,000 a month, what do you think the company is gonna do? Right. It's going to put it on its top search at the number one because they paid for it. No, but does that mean that that particular thing is good? No, it just means that they had the money to pay for it.
Right.
Again, it's I just like with reviews on anything, not just Amazon, but with anything. Be aware, eyes open. You know what I mean? Like, always. you want to look and take it with a grain of salt. And I like to read the top comments, like the 5-star comments, and then I like to read the 1-star comments.
Uh-huh, I do the same thing.
Because it's like, I feel like the 1-star comments tend to be a little more truthful. And then it's like, if they're complaining, if you've got like 20 complaints about this one thing about this product, chances are that that is a real problem with this product.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I tend to read those and I feel like, okay, well, I feel like those are just a little more honest.
I think that's smart to do.
Perspectives, you know? Research.
Do we need to add like a special bonus podcast on internet safety and how to spot mis and disinformation on the internet?
I can do a little spin-off podcast.
Pyro Toasted Talks presents Stranger Danger, the internet.
I will do that by myself.
Stranger Danger, the small business way.
Yeah.
but steering it back to the actual topic at hand, what else?
Did you want to go through just what you have in your razor tip toolkit? Because I think that's the one thing that you didn't cover.
I mean, what's actually in my razor tip toolkit? Let's see. I've got the Jackery. I've got my razor tip machine. The power cords. And I stress the power cords because he laughs. But I started off with the razor tip with the two pens and the power cord is attached to the machine. The new one that I have is 3 pens. The power cord is not permanently attached to the machine.
Oh, no.
So what did I do? I took the machine, took the pens, took the nibs, and I forgot the power cord. And we had to come back and get the power cord. And it happened not once. I think it must have happened like 2 or 3 times. And then Brian would be like, did you remember the power cord this time? So I put that on there as a reminder to myself. So, yes, power cord. So the power cord for the razor tip, I carry the power cord to the Jackery just in case it loses power or I need to power it up because
also,
of whatever reason.
If we stay somewhere overnight, we'll usually charge it because we'll run through about, 60% of the power in one day. We don't want to run out of it on the second day.
Yeah, it's especially if we're doing a 2 or 3 day mark or whatever. And I'm the kind of person where I just rather have everything in one spot. So all the power cords for the things, I want it with the thing, wherever the thing is living, right? Because then I don't want to sit here and go, shoot, where did I put the power cord for that thing? It's with the thing.
Right.
So let's see. The power cord, I have the small Koto fume fan. I have my nib crib. I have a Cookie Lazy Susan, which is
nib crib. What's that?
We're going to go back to the nib crib. The nib crib. Brian coined the nib crib. I have an interchangeable razor tip The tips are exactly that. They screw into, there's two screws that holds the nibs to the pen. So I have a whole bunch of different nibs, and I put them in a box, and I stuck them in foam, and Brian calls it the nib crib because that's where they sleep.
Perfect.
When they're not. So it's the nib crib. And then I have the Cookie Lazy Susan, which is literally just a really small Lazy Susan that's made for cookies. But like if I'm doing ornaments, it's a must have for me when I'm doing the ornaments to turn it around, turn things. So there's that. Then there's the wrist rest, like the, you know, for the people who are always on the computer, the thing that you put your wrist on to help.
The carpal tunnel.
To keep you from getting carpal tunnel. And that was more of an explanation for someone who has no idea what I'm talking about. So I have that. I have the wrist rest. I have the pens. I have a pencil and eraser. Post-its.
The post-it notes are because a lot of times she'll take special requests if she's doing ornaments. And actually, this is a really good one for something that we added in later that was something we didn't realize we needed before. If she's doing custom burning on the spot and somebody wants to have something written on their piece, like engraved on the back of an ornament or, you know, an engraving on a keychain, she does it with the post-it notes because then she can give them the post-it notes to write down what they want. She can line them all up so she could do them in the order that she got them. Mm-hmm. And then when she's done, she could put them in the bag, put the post-it note on the bag, hang it up on an S-hook on the back of the grid, and then when the people come back, she could just go and look through all of the bags that have the post-it notes on it, find the one that's for them, and hand it to them. The first couple of times that we were burning on site and we had several orders queued up, it was such chaos. We couldn't remember. We had them all written down in on a piece of paper, and we couldn't keep track of what was what.
I was using an index card, and then I was just like reusing the index card, but then I might get confused, and that was a problem. So I started using the post-it notes, and if anybody does that on site or whatever, suggestion is to get a name and number along with that, with what they want engraved on the back, because just in case they don't come back, and I've had people forget to come back for their ornament. At least now I have a way to call them and be like, well, hey, you paid for this. You know, where do you want me to ship it?
Yeah, because we do have them pay up front for it before she starts burning the custom engraving.
Yeah, so that was partially why I did the post-it notes. Plus, it's a lot easier, like, especially with the ornaments, because I would just take it, the post-it note, and put it on the actual ornament.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't forget which design went with who, person, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I have the wax sealer. I have makeup sponges to put the wax sealer on the item. Mm-hmm. And my branding iron, which has my logo, and the butane torch for the branding iron. So that's what I have in my...
Do you take extra butane also?
I do. That I keep in a different bin. But I generally... I have a refill in a bin that it never leaves that bin for that reason.
Yeah,
she used the butane torch to heat up the branding iron. If you use a butane torch, don't underestimate how fast you go through butane.
Yes.
You go through butane real quick.
Yeah, especially how long it takes to like heat up the branding iron to actually brand. So that's what's in my actual razor tip.
The razor tip kit.
Yes. The razor tip kit.
The razor kit, if you will.
Yes, the razor kit.
Okay, so do we want to do some rapid fire top 3 things for your toolkit before we wrap up?
Top three things that have to be in the toolkit.
Yeah. The top three things that somebody making their toolkit... Mr. or Mrs. Toasty, who's listening to this right now, is making their toolkit. What are the three things that they should not forget?
Card reader.
Mm-hmm. Card reader?
A power source, whether it's a jackery or like just a... Like a
little anchor.
Like an anchor, power.
Power bank.
Power bank. Power up your phone, and if you have to charge your Square, at the very least you could do that. So a backup power source if you don't have access to an actual outlet. What else?
I'm a big proponent of always having cordage of some kind. I don't want to say
like paracord.
No, like I don't like rope, but I don't want to say like full sized rope because I don't want people thinking of like gym class climbing rope. But like paracord, fantastic. But for me, you know, I know all the knots to make that useful. So if you're gonna pack it, know how to use it.
No, that is true.
And something to cut it.
Yes.
Because you're probably going to bring a ream of it, right?
Yeah.
So a multi-tool. Multi-tool of some kind, whether it's like a Leatherman or some other kind of multi-tool.
Personally, I think a Leatherman is a great investment. I think I really like the Leatherman.
I mean, there are different brands of
There are, but yeah, that's... I mean, the Swiss Army knives are great, nice, yeah. Too.
There's another one, but I can't remember it right off the
top. Mine's a Gerber.
Gerber, that was the thing.
Gerbers are good, too. Gerbers, I like Gerbers.
I'm a Gerber kid.
To match your Duluth. hint, hint, Duluth and Gerber.
Sponsor. We get the baby food, but not the multi-tools.
Oh, that's right. Gerber multi-tools. That'd be really weird if we get sponsored by Gerber baby foods. It's like, I'm not sure there are people. So what else?
I don't know if these are essentials, but like, Renee doesn't like seeing the rope if she can avoid it because she doesn't think that's as presentable. So we carry a lot of zip ties for like the short little things that I could just tie up with a piece of rope, but we use the zip tie instead. So I mean, they're pretty handy to have.
A hammer.
Hammer or mallet,
depending on what you're using. I mean, the mallet's good for when you're nailing down stakes or for when you're, you know...
Tent-wise.
Yeah, for the tent. The hammer is really more for if you're doing any sort of hardware on the spot or you're, if you have a hook that's came out during transport and you need to just knock a new one back in. You know, that's...
I'm thinking packing tape, right? Because you could cut it down to size to tape anything if you need to. But if you got a big piece and I keep them in the sleeve, so I need packing tape in case I have to pack. I have to retape it. But I've used it on other things also, so I think packing tape or some kind of tape.
I think Renee said before tissues and garbage bags.
Yes,
important.
You know what else is important? Sunscreen is definitely one, but seriously, like pain medication of some sort.
Yep.
You know, like Tylenol. Like really, some people are headache. They produce headaches. It's almost like their goal is to give you a headache. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Also, if you're like me, carry a couple of caffeine pills with you. I drink way too much coffee, and if I don't have coffee, I get headaches. Couple of caffeine pills don't hurt.
So.
All right. Well, if we go much further, we'll just have relisted the whole toolkit scan.
I think you're right.
Baby wipes.
All right. Any plugs?
We already talked about it in episode 8, but I'm talking about it again.
I was going to say, talk about it again.
You should be signing up for the Timberdoodle Retreat. If you're listening to this right now, why aren't you signing up for the Timberdoodle Retreat?
Well, David, tell me, where is the Timberdoodle Retreat going to be?
What even is it?
It's going to be a week-long excursion with Renee and David of It's David and Renee to the woods around Shenandoah National Park and Shenandoah National Park, featuring hiking, nature appreciation, wood burning, art, fun, games, food. The ticket includes everything you need once you get to us. And it is, what's our price? $18.50 for a week of learning and fun and hanging
all
out.
All inclusive.
Yes. all-inclusive, and there's limited seating, so get on that.
Where can we sign up?
You can sign up at our website. It's davidandrenee.com. Probably / Timberdoodle Retreat, but just go to the homepage and find it.
It's not slashed.
Just get all the deets on the website.
In May of 2025.
Yes.
All right, and we don't really have anything to plug, but I will just give a quick plug to the Guild of Charlotte Artists, GCA. Zona just re-upped her membership for another year. The GCA does a number of art exhibits and art contests, jury shows in Charlotte throughout the year. We were just her piece, Sakura, was just in the International Art Show, as was Tribal Mother. And I think that was your second art show that you were a part of. So if you are in the Charlotte area...
At Guild of Charlotte Artists.
At Guild of Charlotte Artists, you can see a lot of her work there, as well as a lot of other really great Charlotte artists. We have a few close friends of ours who are part of the guild also, and one of the artists does stained glass, another one does metalworking.
Metalsmith.
So a lot of really cool stuff, and they are super supportive of us on social media, sharing our posts all the time. So I just want to give a little back to them because they've been super, super awesome. Guild of Charlotte Artists.
Awesome.
All right. So that will do it for today. Just as always, follow us on all of the socials. You can find Pyro Toasty Talks on Facebook and at Instagram at Pyro Toasty Talks. You can also find It's David and Renee at It's David and Renee. And you can find Zona and I at BZ_Furfur on the gram. Check out our Discord where all of the conversation happens. We've had some great feedback from some of our toasties on Discord about future topics that we will be covering. We've also had some great discussion about some possible t-shirt ideas, which I hope to have up soon once we can agree on some designs. And as always, stay toasty.
Stay toasty.
Stay toasty.